I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another edition of the SmackDown After Show, breaking down everything that is WWE and, of course, more importantly, SmackDown on Fox. What's up, everyone? I am Josh Tariff. Gabby is off this week. However, the rest of the gang hanging out. First off, we've got Mr. Brian Santos.
Yes, hello, I'm here in my Carmella shirt, represent, ready for her to be a three-time as Money in the Bank. Let's do this.
It's crazy because everyone forgets she's a two-time.
Yeah.
And she could be a three. And, of course, joining us as well is the calm one himself, Tom Connolly.
Yes, I'm very, very calm today.
That sounded sincere and legit. All right, yeah, so what, I mean, let's just jump right into it, because I thought this week's SmackDown, based on the last few weeks, where we know ratings-wise, it's just been doing nothing but going lower and lower and lower. Story purposes, I felt this week was actually one of the better ones that we've had in the last several weeks. I don't know what you guys think overall.
I don't know. I kind of disagree. I actually didn't really like this one. I was on my phone most of the time. I feel like some of the matches, especially like Daniel Bryan and Baron Corbin, ran way too long. I was like still looking at my phone. It was like 20 minutes in. And then I was even more mad that match was so long and then ended in a DQ. I was like, God, you just wasted my time, 2020. Like, seriously.
You're blaming it on 2020. Got it.
Yeah. But yeah, I disagree a little bit that it was not really the best for me, but there definitely was aspects of building the storylines that are happening at Money in the Bank. So,
Tom?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I think there was a lot of really long matches for the SmackDown it seemed like it was, let's just do a whole episode about Otis, Mandy, Ziggler, and Sonya, really, too, which I'm fine with, because I think that's probably the most interesting story on SmackDown right now. So at least it was consistent of, you know, throughout the show.
Sure. Well, let's get into it, because I mean, you guys might have been saying some things that I agree or maybe I kind of disagree with, but I'm going to get into that once we get to those segments. Start with Daniel Bryan. He's cutting the promo talking about how he loves trying new things and he's excited for the opportunity of doing Money in the Bank at the corporate headquarters in Stamford, Connecticut, and then mentioned something quite intriguing, because a few weeks ago, we were talking about the cinematic matches and how it might be a little difficult on keeping our attention and having two of the same match on the same show. How are they going to do it? They're going to go in the same rooms or whatever it might be. But then Daniel Bryan in this promo mentions that the men and women will be competing at the same time. So
what?
It's just one giant double Money in the Bank ladder match. Obviously, they got some type of plan to be able to pull it off, because just listening to that, that sounds absurd, having 12 different superstars running around encountering who knows what, two different briefcases, ladders galore. Someone will be thrown off the roof of the building. I'm convinced of that. and be back next week on TV. And first off, before we get even deeper into the promo, what do we think of the thought of both the men's and women's Money in the Bank ladder matches happening at the same time? Tom, we'll start with you.
I mean, I like the idea. I think it's better. At least it's going to be super interesting. I don't know how they're going to do it, though. Like film it. Like, obviously, they already filmed it, but, I mean, editing it together of, what if someone gets real close, and then what are you going to do? Cut away to, like, if there's, like, if, say, one of the guys are already on the roof and the girls are coming up, like, how are we going to watch all that at the same time? Like, it kind of reminds me of, like, that movie Rat Race. Did you ever see that movie?
Yes.
It's like, yes. Really funny movie. You should check it out. where it's, like, they were, like, tracking them on, like, on a big, like, screen, like, and they're all had trackers on them. Which I think would be something, I'm pretty sure they would probably do something like that, where it's like, maybe they cut away and like, they see that, like, you know, Daniel Bryan's on the first floor and, you know, so-and-so's on the second floor,
at least. Oh, God.
At least just to see where they are, like, right?
Yeah.
But I don't, it's, this is so interesting, and it's going to be interesting to watch because
yeah,
we have, there's no set expectations for this. I like the idea of the both of them because I think maybe in the end we see two, like a guy and a girl help each other win, which will be interesting to see.
Mm. Definitely. Yeah. Actually, I was piggybacking off of that time. I thought that same thing because for a minute I thought that it was going to be something like Mandy and Otis, but I forgot that Mandy actually lost. Mm. So that would have made so much sense for
if
those
Otis
two storylines.
Money in the bank.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Could you imagine?
What they could turn the briefcase into a
Tucker,
lunchbox, right?
Just put some ham inside or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They could just take one of those like lunchboxes that they have as money in the bank briefcases, and that's what he can carry around his lunch pail.
Yeah, I'm
with his picture of Mandy in it.
I actually don't. I have no clue who's going to win. Like, I guess they're doing a good job of keeping me guessing because I do not have any idea who's going to win either one of those matches, or I guess this match because they're both going to win at the same time. But I'm so confused at who's going to win, and I want to see it just for the fact that I want to know how they're going to make it happen. So we'll see.
Well, I don't think you're going to win at the same time, though, right? I mean, it could. It could happen. It could happen. But I think it'll
be possible they can win at the same time, but they could still have them separate.
Yeah.
And more so, Dan O'Brien is just more so wondering, if anything, what is the proper etiquette of wrestling in an office building? You say, you know, like, do I just take an elevator? Do I, you know, are there certain people I have to ask? Does Vince McMahon really have dinosaur bones in his office, which has always been a fun myth?
What do you mean? We've seen it. He does.
We've seen the dinosaur, but I thought it was a myth as to whether or not their bones are real.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I mean, that, and I could very well be wrong on that.
If they smash it, then no, it was never real.
Yeah. Well, or they'll have a replica set up.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Dan O'Brien's also sad because he was hoping his buddy Drew Gulak would be there to compete with him to try to claim the briefcase. But Baron Corbin cheated to win, and now he's calling him out. Corbin comes out, makes fun of it. Saying Dan O'Brien's not going to do anything, blah, blah, blah. And then we get into the match of Dan O'Brien and Baron Corbin. First off, this is the first time I noticed this, really. So I don't know if it was just difference with the mics or the particular referee, but I was hearing every single thing the ref was saying.
I didn't notice.
Yeah, I didn't notice either.
I mean, as far as, you know, I'm not saying like any like the insider type stuff, but I mean, as far as, you know, when you see the ref say like, hey, watch the fist, or, you know, hey, let go of the hair, you see them, but you might not necessarily hear them. And I haven't really heard much of them, even in this circumstance, of them in a performance center without an audience. But the referee during this match to me was clear as day. So I don't know if that was just odd miking or what, but it stood out to me. Brian, I want to go to you about this because you were talking about how you did not enjoy this match. I did. And let me tell you why. Because a lot of people, including us, we'll periodically talk about how much we find Baron Corbin boring. Because
I love him.
In many situations, Corbin can be boring. However, Corbin has good to great matches against small guys. His matches with Roman Reigns were terrible. His matches with Elias have been terrible. His best matches were with AJ Styles. He had great matches with Chad Gable. And I really liked the contrast in style in this match with him and Daniel Bryan. I thought it was a fun match. Big guy also still being scientific, working on the arm to prevent him from putting on the yes lock. Daniel Bryan, of course, being the hero, fighting back, trying to get back into things, taking out Corbin, and then Corbin realizing, oh, I can't beat him. Well, I'm going to just use a ladder because this match is not important, and I'm going to cause a DQ. And now apparently Cesaro and Nakamura feel like hanging out with me, and we're all down Dan O'Brien together.
That's where I just got lost, because I do agree with you that it was definitely a good match, you know, like technically wise. There was definitely interesting spots to it. I just think it ran a little bit long for my taste, especially for the fact that it was going to end in a DQ. Like, if you're going to give me all that and then give me a payoff, sure. But the fact that you're just like, okay, waste my time and throw the ladder. Like, so, and then even more so, I was more confused when Nakamura and Cesaro came out. I was like, where is Sami Zayn? Like, I'm just confused.
Well, it was because, like, last week, Nakamura and Cesaro, they showed Bryan, up and grabbed Daniel Bryan. It's like, okay, well, that kind of made sense because they still have a little feud type thing going on. And this cost Gulak the chance of getting the Money in the Bank. I'm like, all right, that makes sense. But they weren't necessarily working with Corbin. They were just kind of on their own attacking Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, Corbin has turned into Sami Zayn. And he's their leader.
I did see a story earlier this week about Sami Zayn that apparently he's very difficult to work with backstage, according to this story. It seemed like it was like Sammy wants to start a wrestling union, and everyone's like, you know what I mean? I think he's just very outspoken anyway. So that's
he's always been outspoken about stuff.
I hate this pairing. I think it's horrible. Why
Corbin with Cesaro and Nakamura?
Yeah,
I agree.
Like, but also, like, if they're gonna help him win the match. Like, that would have made way more sense. Mm-hmm. Like, Nakamura comes out, Corbin distracts a ref, he hits a Kinshasa, and, you know, that's all he pins him. And then he pins him. Like, at least that's something. Like, to me, it's like, you have Nakamura and Cesaro, two amazing wrestlers, two guys that can be singles wrestlers. They don't really even need to be with Sami Zayn, but that's just like, it's a group of, like, friends almost. They were, you know, they're friends backstage. We know that.
Yeah.
So at least that made sense. This is just like, you're trying to force this so much, and why does Corbin always need lackeys? Like, such an annoying thing to have him have. If you're going to do this with Corbin, make him have two lackeys from NXT that he, like, brings up, like almost like Edge in the back of the day with Ryder and Hawkins.
Have him bring up a tag team, and they're just his guys.
Like, do something. Like, I don't like that. It's like, well, you guys are here, so let's just keep you, you know, helping him. Because then what happens when Sami Zayn comes back?
Right.
Do they just, they all together? Like, that seems like an even worse group of guys.
Yeah. The Forgotten Sons actually would have made a lot of sense with Corbin. They kind of, like, are in the same vein, you know? So that could have worked. So I definitely feel you on that, Tom. But, yeah, I definitely agree that Cesaro and Nakamura should be doing so much more than being someone's lackey. Yeah. And Corbin doesn't even need them, too, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, all three of them, I know some people might not like Corbin in main event picture, but based on the heat he gets from the crowd, he's the consummate villain, so he should be up there. But Cesaro and Nakamura, for their crowd reactions and just incredible abilities, should obviously be in that main event singles picture as well, but they're not.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw someone post, because I think it was like the anniversary of Nakamura debuting on the main roster from that SmackDown, like 2 years ago, whatever, a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
And like the crowd was electric for him, like just going out of their minds for him. And it's just, it pains me to see how far he has fallen.
It wasn't that long ago he won the Rumble.
Right.
Royal Rumble winner, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, but I just meant like the crowd just ate it up. Like, they had the guy that plays the violin come out. Like, it was total shock, total surprise. Like, you know, and I saw someone tweet, like, can Nakamura please go against Bray so he can turn him back into strong style Nakamura? And I was like, yes, please.
That would be, because we haven't had that match. That would be a fun match.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be very intrigued on how those two would work together. All right, Tom, make it happen. They watch us. Listen to us, right?
Fuck it.
It wasn't my idea. Someone else wrote it on Twitter. I just agreed. I said, yes.
You've now shared it to the masses. Yes. Therefore,
saw it on Wrestling Twitter After Dark.
Yes. You can see a few other things on that, but we won't get into it. But speaking of Bray Wyatt, that leads us into the next segment, because we have Braun Strowman come out to the ring, starting to cut a promo about Bray, immediately interrupted by a Firefly Funhouse segment, where Bray is reading the story about the black sheep. And it's a story about how, like, this farmer help raise a black sheep, and then the sheep turned and left without saying bye or sorry or whatever. And Brown then shuts him up and calls him out, and Bray says bye. And that was that.
It's so hard to like, I'm buying into the story, but the fact was that Strowman got drafted to Raw and they all got drafted to SmackDown. So Strowman didn't really leave them.
That is some insight, Tom. I didn't even think of that.
That was the reason why he left them. Like, that was the only reason. Because he went, and then he was on Raw, and then he came out to this new music he has now. He cut his hair, and then he was beating up James Ellsworth. Like, that's it. Like, that's the path he took. He didn't leave.
Who was the general manager of Raw at the time? Do you remember?
Stephanie?
Because we got to have GM appear on SmackDown.
Wasn't it Mick Foley?
Was it Foley then? Maybe it was Foley.
Oh, Foley with Stephanie, and then Daniel Bryan and Shane. Yeah, okay, sorry. Yeah.
Okay, so let's say Mick Foley shows up and be like, oh, just Bray, your story was wrong. He didn't. I just happened to draft him
because
I thought he'd be a really good fit for Raw, and you were already drafted at that point. And
I didn't have any picks left,
and I wasn't really interested in Harper or Rowan. It was a coincidence.
I think they went to SmackDown too. Harper and Rowan were on SmackDown too. I think.
Well, what I was saying was like I think Bray got drafted before Braun. And then Foley's like, I wasn't interested in Harper or Rowan.
Interesting.
That'd be a fun wrench on things. But it all also looks like, I don't think we brought this up, Braun doesn't appear to be wrestling The Fiend.
No, it's definitely Bray.
It's definitely going to be Bray, which makes me feel that this is going to proceed at least one more pay-per-view. Because he'll face Bray, and then he'll face The Fiend.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, we don't know how they're doing it now, because we'll see how this pay-per-view goes. I could see him beating Bray, and then The Fiend shows up at the end,
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
If it's not going to be live or whatever, whatever they're doing, could be interesting. But it just also sucks because you're like, Bray's not going to win.
Yeah. I want him to, though. I'm not really a fan of Braun as Universal Champion, so.
I don't mind Braun as Universal Champion. I just love Braun as a heel. I haven't been a huge fan of Braun as a babyface.
True.
The monster among men should be feared.
Yeah. he shouldn't be, I'm sorry, he shouldn't be backstage with Alexa Bliss, drinking coffee or whatever he's doing. It's
never for screen time, but
yeah. But it's just hard. It's hard to get behind him as a good guy. It really is. I totally agree with you on that.
And so Alexa Bliss was flown in just for that thing.
Waste her time, 2020.
She lives in Florida, I think.
I think she lives in Florida.
Yeah. She drove it however far she has to go.
Think of the people that showed up and didn't do anything, right?
Yeah.
Hey, did you guys see, speaking of catering, did you guys see that last, I think it was the Edge and Randy Orton match, or no, Elias segment, where their catering is just a table of chips?
I'm sure that wasn't the actual catering.
It looked like, I was like, God, I'm so sorry to everybody who worked there.
Hey, if you've gone to any of the independent shows that I've worked, if we had a little table of chips, we're like, whoa, we're treated like kings and queens. This is amazing. Sheamus versus Leon Ruff. Hey, Corey, how do you think this match is going to go for Leon? It'll be rough. Ha, ha, because his name, it's hilarious. Good job, commentary. I have been loving the Sheamus squash matches, because he's not just sitting like a move and being done and being like taunting him. He is beating the hell out of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just like, ooh, This is a fun 90 seconds of just a slaughter. Say again?
No, I said true. I agree. Because, you know, before, like, for example, we were talking about Braun. His squash is really just picking up, just doing power the power slam, and that's it. Yeah. So, Sheamus, he's doing the Beats of the Baron, or he's doing a bro kick, or he's really, like you said, annihilating them so that they look like they were beaten down. So,
yeah. And this leads them into the final video package for Jeff Hardy, where Sheamus wants to be out there watching it. And it's then said at the end that Jeff Hardy returns next week. Sheamus has a big smile on his face because he'll be here too. And
shocker.
Yeah.
I didn't see that one.
I did not see that coming.
I mean, I think that something that would be interesting is that we think like he's coming out to fight Jeff Hardy and someone else comes out and attacks Sheamus instead.
Someone that squashed, and they're like, I'm tired of this.
Or just someone to help Jeff Hardy already. Like, I mean, we know he's going after him, so.
Yeah.
In long term, I don't want it at all because I think it'd be a terrible idea. But in the short term, I would love if all of a sudden Jeff Hardy comes out, returns, Sheamus comes out, and then they just hug and embrace and are buddies.
I honestly would be here for that because I don't know.
And they form a tag team and they win. And then eventually Sheamus turns. It's a terrible idea. It would just be funny.
Any more sense than how Sheamus got his last tag team of Best of Seven series. And they're like, actually, just kidding. We're friends. What was that?
Backstage with Otis and Mandy. First off, they just look adorable together.
I stand.
Second of all, we were all texting about this because we were just like, we don't know if it was the makeup, the lipstick, a little change in the hair, but Mandy Rose always looks hot. We already know this. Mm-hmm. But like,
true.
I feel like it was like even like another this week. And I'm just like,
that outfit, well, I'm sure you're going to do some Christian's closet because that outfit was amazing. You went mute. There you go.
Had able to play over us talking. It would definitely be on it because, first off, and other female wrestlers have had it. The little like she had, they're like kind of white like straps just above
on
like
the waist. Yeah, it's like such where, a like I'm like yes, girl.
I always go back whenever I see things like that. I think of Lita with the
thong. Yes, the thong.
I know that's not what it is, but it always makes me kind of go back to like, oh, that's the style. That's the look of it. It's just very provocative type look. And just the shade of blue that she wore looked really good on her with the makeup setup.
Anyone think it looks like Peyton Royce's gear? It looks exactly like Peyton Royce's gear. I think it's like the same designer.
It did look a lot like Peyton Royce, yeah.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, there would have been also Christian's closet for Otis because Otis got a new shirt. Because they shockingly realized the Ham and Slam shirt that we talked about a few weeks ago hasn't gone over too well. So they got a new shirt, which I did double check this because it had the Heavy Machinery logo, and it just has like this little sign that says "Working Man Otis," which then made me think, "What about Tucker?"
I know.
I went in the shop. They have Working Man Tucky as well, so they gave both of them individual shirts.
They need to make a ship name for the two of them and make a shirt with their ship name because I would buy that. Like literally, I would buy it and crop it. Like.
Yeah.
I think the reason she looks good too is that she's face. Because my thing is like when she was heel, she was like shoving it in your face how hot she was, which can be a good thing. But now that she's face and she's just like she knows she's beautiful and she's just like radiating beauty, it like makes her that much more beautiful. So I'm like here for it.
And the one thing though with her being a face now, my one request is then we shouldn't have the foggy camera on her entrance anymore.
Yeah,
I love that. It's so good.
I like it. I'm not saying it's bad. I thought it was a great addition to her heel persona. Mm. The music is fine. Music stuff, because it, you know, like the whisper of the Mandy, it's the equivalent of like the Trish laugh at the beginning of Trish Stratus.
Yes.
So it's like I'm fine with the music, I'm fine with the intro, all that's good. Fans are gonna cheer, but it's just like, well, then you gotta get rid of it's not about you anymore because you're a baby face. True. So you don't want that extra spotlight. Goldust had, you know, the film type footage when he would come out. When he turned face, that was gone.
You know what they should do to get rid of that? They should have Otis manage her one time or valet her. She would come out with the fog, and then when he steps into shot, they'll unblur it. Like, that'll be, like, so good.
Yeah.
Actually, what would be really funny is he walks up to the camera because he notices it's foggy.
And then wipes it. Like, that's so cute. I love
that. And just wipes it off. Done with the gimmick.
But I mean, she looked extra hot today. But it was like her makeup, like her face almost looked different. Like she didn't look like the same person to me. I was like, why do you look like you're just like her face just looked very different to me. I was like, who is this? This is not Mandy Rose. This is her like weird, like another twin sister, Mandy Rose.
If you're saying Mandy has a twin sister, there's going to be problems.
Candy Rose, okay?
So Mandy's going one-on-one with Carmella for Money in the Bank qualifying match. And we were talking about how long the Corbin-Bryan match was. Well, this one was incredibly short, but it had a reason for it being short. So, like, towards the very beginning of the match, Sonya Deville comes out with a microphone, just talking various things, trying to distract Mandy. Brings up how a year ago, the two of them, they got to choose which one of them would go into Money in the Bank. And Sonya said, Mandy, you take it, which was an actual story they did, and we never knew why. And so she's doing all this, distracting Mandy. Eventually, Carmella hits a super kick, pins her. Carmella wins. And then Sonya goes nuts. And Sonya.
She's down, Jesus.
So, well, she kicked her, she punched her, she slammed her face into everything. And it really made me think. With all the women's evolution stuff that we've had over these last few years and all the great, progress we've seen in women's wrestling, you know, we've seen things take steps forward. We've seen, and we've talked about items that made them go back. But one type of character that we haven't had in the women's division in years is the psychopath. We haven't really had it since Victoria.
Victoria, my girl.
Who should be in a Hall of Fame, but that's a whole nother discussion. Sonya, based on how she was acting tonight, I was just like, if this is the direction they're going to go with Sonya, not just with Mandy, but just going forward, she is the psychopath.
Yeah.
It's something we don't have on any of the rosters.
True.
This is good, and this is going to put Sonya apart from everyone else, because you have your Charlotte, your Sasha, your Bayley, your four horsewomen. And then you have also, you know, your Asuka's and everything. You're Ronda Rousey, she's around the Shayna Baszler's, you're good wrestlers. Here's the freaking crazy girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just entertainment.
Yeah.
And Sonya, I thought, absolutely crushed this in this beatdown and just her attitude in the segment. I want to know what you guys think.
Yeah, I think so too. What I would say, just for further storyline purposes, I wish that Mandy would have made it to Money in the Bank. I wish that she would have beat Carmella, made it to Money in the Bank, Sonya cost her Money in the Bank, and that sets up our storyline for them, because I feel like it's really going to drive home the whole, like, God, they really hate each other now kind of thing. But now I don't know what they're going to do, so I don't even think they're going to have a Money in the Bank match. I think that they're still trying to string along maybe like SummerSlam, but that's just what I thought about the match in general. But I 100% agree with you with the ending, how she beat Mandy is ass down. Really, like, that, I don't even know if that cut was real. That looked pretty real.
I was gonna bring that up too after we hear what Tom was saying on it, because the whole time she was working on her face, and then all of a sudden we come back and there's this like weird like gash on her leg. She's like, did I miss something? Like, when did that happen?
Yeah.
But Tom, what did you think of all of it?
Yeah, I mean, I thought I really wanted her to win because I just think the storyline going in of like, oh, Mandy and Otis could be Mr. and Mrs. Money in the Bank. Like, we've never had an actual couple be, you know, have briefcases at the same time. And at least going in, it's the perfect storyline to go into it. And I agree with you, Ryan, of like, yeah. And then Mandy, and then they both, like, Ziggler costs Otis, and Mandy costs, or and Sonya costs Mandy. Like, it just, especially now that they're all going to be there, and they're both, it's happening at the same time. They could both be up there about to reach it, and then who comes out but Ziggler and Sonya out of nowhere and knock them down. Like, and it's a perfect way to set up if you wanted a heel to win Money in the Bank to where. Yeah. You know, everyone's so excited watching it going, oh my God, they're both going to win. They're both there. Oh no, they're not. They lose. A heel jumps up there and, you know, then Corbin climbs up and grabs it. You know,
I agree with you on the fact, as far as for the stories that I felt that would make more sense, because you could have had them get involved, cost them Money in the Bank. Then the next pay-per-view would be the mixed tag match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would have been like, you know, maybe the payoff or just finally the singles match. And then would have been a gimmick match of some kind as the final.
Tom Hanny's match. We need it. Bring it back. Bring it back, please, Vince.
Right. First off, of all of us to bring up the Brown Panties match.
I never would have guessed that.
No. my money would have been on me, but I guess it wasn't. Secondly, remember how I said a minute ago about, like, women's evolution, like, going forward and back? I don't know if that's what they want to do right now.
Listen, they can have a match, and then at the end, that happens, okay?
we'll take it to Survivor Series, so it's near Thanksgiving, and we'll have a gravy bowl match. That would be just God.
And those of you that might be watching or listening to this that are fairly new wrestling fans, everything we're saying has actually happened. real matches like that have happened. Like
they can have like a, you know, a jello fighting match or whatever.
Oh my God.
Or they can have a hard-hitting wrestling match.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think they're trying to stretch it out for sure. Like, I think we should get that singles match at SummerSlam.
Yeah,
because if anywhere,
I would love if they were able to push it all the way to SummerSlam. I would love that. I mean, that is
I think they can.
I mean, that's so Money in the Bank's in May. SummerSlam's in August. I mean, are we going to push the payoff all the way then?
Yeah, because I think we could do something in between. I think I agree with you. The next match, next pay per view is in the mixed tag match.
Mm-hmm.
The next one, either maybe they just don't even have a match. They kind of are not on the card to kind of keep it going.
Rematch Ziggler and Otis and make Ziggler win to really fuel it. Like Sonya gets involved, really fuel it, and then that'll be like the setup for that final show.
Or they can even have like the match scheduled, and let's just say one of them is walking in the ring and the other one just attacks him and the match never starts.
Yeah.
So the match doesn't even officially happen because they're just so angry with each other.
But I definitely enjoy Sonya being psycho and crazy. Yeah. I think she needs to own it a little more, but it's getting there. It's slow build, which is good. But yeah, I think she's the perfect one to do that because she is a former MMA fighter, so she can definitely really kick your ass.
Mm-hmm.
And then adding that weird edge of like her just being psycho and like, but do we think, I'm just saying, like, do we think this ends up like weirdly like her professing her love to Mandy though?
I wanted to, very Mickey James. Like, I need that in my life.
I don't know if I want that. I mean, I mean it'd be entertaining, but I don't know if long term that's a good idea.
Or does it end where really, you know, I think it has to, if Mandy ends up getting like a title shot out of this, like being with Otis, like does it mean that like it was Mandy really playing Otis all along this whole time? just to get what she wants. And then, like, she dumped. You know what I mean? Because
I mean, well, the other thought I do have is whenever this feud does end between the two of them, if they build it up properly, let's say it builds up all the way to SummerSlam. After SummerSlam, one of them has to move to Raw. You can't have it the same show anymore.
Mm-hmm. And that could be like that's why I feel like sometimes they don't explain that, where it's like they could have a match and say Mandy wins just to have the babyface win.
Sure.
The next SmackDown, Sonya like destroys her, like beats the crap out of her so bad, like where like she's like bleeding from the mouth, or you know what I mean, something to where like they go, whoa, listen guys, like you can't be on the same show anymore, like you can't be around each other, like
sure,
it's easy to explain. It's just they never explain that stuff. It's just a thing of like, you know.
She just shows up and her music hits and we're like, wasn't she just on last week's SmackDown?
Exactly.
Speaking of explanation, I mean, backstage when Mandy's being looked at by the trainer, Otis is concerned and Otis obviously is angry. Dolph Ziggler shows up and very sincerely asks, is Mandy okay? And Otis is just like, you son of a bitch.
He was breathing so heavily. He was like, I was like, oh my God.
And Ziggler is just like, okay, I'll just leave.
I wish he would have
said again, something. Ziggler being the good guy. Dolph Ziggler is the good guy in all
this. I'm confused too. I'm rooting for him too. I'm like, I'm so confused.
Like, I just wish he would have been like, yeah, she's fine, but no thanks to you. Like, at least say something.
Yeah.
Like, don't just breathe at him. At least it kind of scares Ziggler off or something. I don't know. It was
right.
It was what it was. But yeah, Ziggler's the good guy, you know?
Yeah, he's a good guy now. New Day versus the Forgotten Sons. Miz and Morrison are on commentary. The big highlight in this is they just kept talking about Tiger King, and Morrison wants to put Michael Cole on a blind date with Carol Baskin. And you know, it's a non-title match on TV, which means
champions always win.
about that is incorrect. Riker interferes during the match. Forgotten Sons pin Kofi, which is just weird. And they get the win. Miz and Morrison seem impressed. And then right after SmackDown went off the air, it gets announced at Money in the Bank, we're going to have New Day defend the tag titles in a four-way against Forgotten Sons, Miz and Morrison, and Lucha House Party.
Who were nowhere to be seen and somehow get a tag match.
Well, they beat Miz and Morrison last week.
Oh, they did. Okay, yeah. But still, I mean, this is another one of those matches where it's like, oh, the champions just lose. I mean, not clean, but kind of clean over these new upstart guys, which I get trying to make them legit. But I also think it would have added to help have Miz and Morrison help them win, mm-hmm. at least to like help at least. All right, fine. They still beat the champs, but these guys just started on the show. And it doesn't help the Forgotten Sons. I don't think it does, because okay, great, they pinned the champs in their first or second match on SmackDown,
pretty much something like that.
Like you know, like it. We've seen this story. We know what happens. I know the ending.
Yeah, I mean, and well, one of two things is going to happen in the course of the actual match. It's either going to be New Day retains by pinning one of the other teams, or the Forgotten Sons somehow immediately win the tag titles. I'm leaning towards option A, because then the Forgotten Sons will come out after that and be like, hey, you didn't beat us, and we've beaten you. Yeah. So now we deserve a title shot. Hey, let's do it. And blah, blah, blah.
It's like you wrote the show. Like I feel like
know.
I'm watching you talk right now.
It's like I've followed wrestling for God way too long.
You know it's way too long. Sorry, I'm gonna tell when the whole Sheamus thing kept happening, and Laurel was watching with me, and then I told her like everything that happened. She looked at me. She goes, "You've been watching this way too long. I can't." Like I'm like, I know it happened. And I'm like, I told her everything that was going to happen, and then it just happened. And you're like,
yep.
And she's like, how did you know that? I'm like, because I was like, I've been watching way too long. She's like, yes, definitely.
Tamina promo backstage. She doesn't really talk much, but this might have been a historic moment for Tamina because she's been in the WWE over a decade. I want to say
maybe
12 years. Is this her very first t-shirt that she wore?
Yep. She probably had a t-shirt with what was the group they had?
Bad Team
but
Bad.
That was a group shirt.
Well, there was Team Bad. That was a group shirt. She didn't have an individual shirt.
Yeah.
I think they had, because they did like a whole thing for Evolution, and when they did like all the women get a custom tee on like the custom tee area. So I think she's had one. Yeah, but true. This is her second in her 10-year career. Yeah.
And the very catchy line of nobody meaner than Tamina.
And wait. Okay. I gotta butt in on this.
Do it.
Because they missed a golden opportunity for this shirt.
Yes, it did.
Because you know what should have said? Nobody meaner than Tamina, right?
Right.
Like who was the
That's why genius? I emphasize that. That's why I emphasize meaner.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't even rhyme.
Like, I know. Like, who was the genius who goes, oh my God, we have a great shirt idea for you. Listen to this. And then he goes, nobody meaner than Tamina. And nobody goes, wait. No. Good idea, but it should be nobody meaner than Tamina. No, guys, that's wrong. No, it's gotta be nobody meaner than Tamina.
Or we change your name to Tamina.
Yes, exactly.
Nobody meaner than Tamina.
That sounds like
I think
like
we were in the meeting, too. We were in that meeting as well.
That sounds like Nicki Minaj on that song with Justin Bieber.
I wouldn't know what that is. I just watch wrestling. I'm a nerd there. I can't. I don't know any of that stuff.
No, they probably pitched it to Tamina, and then she was like, you know what, just do it. I don't care. Just give me a shirt. Like, I'll take anything
probably.
At this point.
but come on. Like, you missed a golden opportunity. I would almost buy that shirt if it said, nobody meaner than Tamina, just because I think it's a funny, like, you should just start saying that.
You wouldn't buy that shirt.
Maybe when it's on discount. Maybe.
I won't get one free. That'd be the free one.
But I mean, I
but it would have been so much
her.
Clever.
I mean, like, you're
so
finally clever. Pushing her. You're finally giving her a shirt, and that's all we come up with? But I mean, it's not Tamina's fault. It's just what the hell is this?
Like, the lines, the saying is fine. It's just the way they portrayed it, the way they wrote it is the wrong part. Like, I mean,
hold on, while you're saying, I'm just going to go on my phone, the WWE shop as well.
I'm already there.
Okay, have they changed it? Have they fixed it?
No, it's still, for $28. Or a hoodie for
$40. Oh, my God.
You want a hoodie for $40?
That says nobody meaner than Tamina? Oh, my God.
I'm glad she has a shirt, but come on, guys.
I hope
So, I mean, she briefly talked.
I would buy it and fix it myself and tape over it.
Sasha shows up in the middle of the promo trying to talk to Tamina how they go way back in the Team Bad days. But we know it's all part of a sneak attack. Bayley and Sasha start trying to attack. Lacey Evans shows up. They get separated. That's that. We figured that was going to happen. Ziggler backstage with Sonya. Sonya still going crazy, just like, I'm going to keep hurting her, and oh, you're going to do the same to Otis, and she's like, you know, everyone's saying the fans cheer on Otis because they see themselves in him. Here's, you know, overweight guy, not a good looking guy. They believe in him because they see themselves, and they start to believe that heart matters. And then Dolph says a very creepy line. He goes to Sonya, like, after you finish hurting Mandy, I will slide next to her and make her all better.
Oh, God. I didn't even catch that. Now I'm cringing.
Oh, yeah. It was so creepy.
Dolph ain't the good guy anymore, is he?
That was weird. For me, honestly, though, this was a little bit odd. Like, I like the psychopath thing you're definitely talking about, but I feel like the delivery between the two of them was a little bit odd. Like, I wasn't keeping up. It wasn't executed very, very well. And I felt like they can do better. They've done better together, you know? So this one was a little bit weird.
I really feel like with everything that happened earlier in the show with Sonya and then that brief interaction with Ziggler, this promo was not needed this week.
Yeah, so, 40 plays.
They could have used that extra minute in the actual match with Mandy and Carmella. But the promo, it made it excessive. Because there's points during a show where you're loving how a story is going, you're loving how it's progressing to get to a certain point, but sometimes they do too much of one particular story in one show, because we know we still have the Otis and Ziggler match. So then when you threw this in on top with everything else, I just felt it was like, oh, we love this story, but you gave us too much this week.
But I think Ziggler, maybe it's just me watching him, but every time, like, I feel like all he's doing is trying to be a better actor and, like, almost like he's auditioning for other roles, not in WWE when he cuts a promo anymore. Mm. Like, I'm going to be champion again and Money in the Bank winner again. Like, and then I'm going to slide up to Mandy again. Like, you're like, what? Like, you're creepy. You're creepy
at the end. Again and again.
It's just like, and then so I didn't like Sony being like, oh, I wish I could have seen Otis's face. And you're like, just go watch the monitors. Like, what do you mean? Like, why would you? Like, that would have been better next week when she was like, oh man, the look on his face last week when you told him, oh, when you asked about Mandy. Like, it was a little too much from both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. I didn't even think about the fact that there was basically like four segments with just the storyline, right?
So we had the Otis and Mandy promo. We had the Mandy match. We had the backstage with Mandy looking at your trainer. Ziggler and Sonya promo and the Otis Ziggler match. So five of the, how many? Seven, we have one into the Corbin match. I'll count that as 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Five of the 10 or 11 segments, half of the show was Sonya and
interesting.
Dolph. Which again, it's not a bad thing that you're focusing on them, because we all are in agreement. That's easily the best story going on. But that was too much for one week.
Sure.
And then main event is Otis and Dolph. And was this a competitive match? Because I don't remember anything in it. I remember Otis throwing Ziggler around, hitting the caterpillar, and getting the win. And why was this a clean victory for Otis? With everything else that happened in the course of the night, why is this just hitting the caterpillar and getting the win?
Yeah. Weird. I think both could have gotten involved, both Sonya and Mandy. That would have made a lot more sense. I didn't think this match was not memorable for me either. I was just like, oh, okay, I knew Otis was going to kind of win, so.
Yeah, I think it was another thing of, like, kind of like the Mania match where you knew the other two were going to get involved, but this one they didn't. And if we're still trying to play up of, like, well, Sonya cost Mandy getting in the match, like, I almost would have wished if Mandy isn't in the match, then Ziggler should be in the match. Otis shouldn't be in it either.
True, true.
So it's like it's like they just shot themselves in the foot twice tonight, where you're like, oh, well, Mandy's not in, but we'll put Otis in to make it interesting.
Can I play Booker? Can I play Booker?
Sure, yes.
Please.
Okay, not Booker T, but just Booker. Go home, Bryant. Oh, wait. So you had Sonya cost Mandy her spot of Money in the Bank. Okay. Well, why don't you have, while this match is going on, Sonya shows up, starts distracting Otis, looking like Ziggler's going to win. And then our hero in all this is Mandy Rose. Mm-hmm. She can show up like with a bandage around her leg, like hero, making her way down to the ring. Her and Sonya start brawling. Otis and Ziggler come out and try to separate them. They start brawling. Match gets thrown out. Neither of them advance. So then they still have their own separate thing. Next week we have some last chance match like they're having on Raw because of Apollo Crews. And you do something like that for the last SmackDown spot. And neither of them get in.
Yeah,
I 100% agree. I thought
you're welcome, America.
I thought it was going to be a double count out where he had him outside the ring and he like threw him in the barrier and then like knocked down Ziggler. I thought it was going to be double. I really was like, oh, but then I was like, wait, this is the main event of the show. Is it really going to be a double count out? Like,
yeah.
But do you think that now Otis is in the match? Like, is there going to be like a room where like Mandy's just hanging out? But it's also like that doesn't even make any sense. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. There's like so many weird things that are going to happen in this match. I just
he's going to find a cafeteria. and just stay there the entire match.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of it is I think who do you think is going to be like appearing in this Money in the Bank match? Like that aren't wrestlers. Like I think we'll see a Kane appearance.
All the McMahons will appear.
You think so?
All of them will make some type of, well, except for Linda. But I think
I missed her. Oh my god.
I think all of them will appear in like various offices that they happen to run into. Triple H will be there. I think they'll just have random, like they're going to go into like archive things. Like the Boogeyman will be somewhere for some reason,
for sure. Yes,
you know, like things like that will happen. Mm-hmm. Other wrestlers are obviously going to be there trying to get them. Like we were talking about, Elias might show up. In this case, now Ziggler might show up. You know, the cost stuff with Otis. Tucker might be there because Otis is there. You know, they're like. And there are going to be so many things that we're just not thinking of.
Yeah.
Like some other Hall of Famers that for some reason are there. Whether they're celebrity wing ones or actual wrestlers. I feel like there's going to be a good combination of action and comedy. It's not going to be dramatic like the Boneyard match was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was actually comedic to me, but... That looked like a bad state, like a bad fight scene from a poorly shot film. I know everyone loved the Boneyard match. I'm just going to say it. Don't come for me, but it was not my gig.
Ryan, go home. Go home. All right, Tom, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say, there's going to be, for some reason, I feel like there's going to be some R-Truth appearance in there somewhere.
Yep.
And, like, he's going to try to get the briefcase, or he's going to come out and be like, I'm here, you know, I'm here to get the Andre the Giant trophy. You know what I mean? Like something like that.
Over under 5 24/7 title changes during the Money in the Bank match.
No way, because Gronk has it. So,
oh yeah, unless we
show up, right?
Gronk might be there. They might have filmed someone with Gronk for him to lose it, and then you have Archer, then you have Mojo, then you have whatever other wrestlers decided to show up. If you can play something along the lines of, the released Drake Maverick wins the 24/7 championship. And he says, you can't fire me. So many possibilities.
Yeah. I know.
All right. So we know Gab is not here, but we do have a couple news items that we do have to get into. So here's our version of attempting to do a wrestling wrap. We know it's not going to be nearly as good because Gabby does it much better. But hey, we've got a couple stars, so we're just going to do it. There was another release in the WWE this week. One, Curtis Axel, former Intercontinental Champion, former Tag Team Champion, former member of the New Nexus, the Social Outcasts, the B Team, amongst other groups that I'm probably forgetting. A lot of people forget. He was there on the roster for like almost a decade. Like he was there a long time. And a lot of people forget that when The Rock made his comeback to face John Cena, when The Rock was training, it was Axel who was the one that assisted him in fighting someone similar build to John Cena in training. Mm. Are we not surprised? Are we surprised? Should he have done more? Any thoughts on this?
Not surprised, but he'll be missed. He was definitely a good comic relief for a lot of good segments, so.
I mean, I think he just never got his due. I think he's good. I think he could have been way better if they would have. Like, if I don't understand why, I get kind of like Heyman gave him that name, the Curtis Axel. Mm-hmm. But I wish, like, I just wish he eventually would have came out and been like, that's not my name. Like, you know, I would, like, he could have just been Joe Henning, you know, and
then he would have had two Joes on TV. Can I say Joe and Joe Henning?
I don't know. Okay, fine. But now you're getting too technical.
I'm not gonna
agree with you.
I know. Like, they do that. They don't want people mixing up their names. Well, which I think it's dumb.
Why wasn't he just Kurt Henning then? Okay? Like, if you're gonna do that, get rid of the Axel and just be Kurt Henning.
Not Kurt Henning, just be Henning or something.
Okay.
Kurt Henning Jr.
Exactly. But I think it was a missed opportunity on their part. Like, I think he could have been something better than he was, mm-hmm. but he was good for the comedy relief of things when he was needed.
Yeah.
Yep.
News out of the state of Florida, where we know WWE has been filming everything at the Performance Center. AEW has been filming most of their stuff out in Florida as well. Supposedly beginning as of this coming Monday, the state is allowing, as far as different things like movie theaters, event venues like this, bowling alleys, to allow people to come in with up to 25% capacity. So help slowly start having people venture in. But now it's up to those particular buildings and companies' discretions as to whether or not they're actually going to do this. So this bears the question, Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, and NXT for that matter, they're filming them all live again. They've already started, you know, doing that, or like live and taped, however they're doing their schedules. Mm-hmm. Are we this coming week going to see some fans in the Performance Center in the midst of all this?
Who wants to go first?
I'm just going to say, I feel like we are, but I wish we weren't. So that's just what I have to say about that. Hopefully WWE makes the right decision on that and does not let fans in. They already have a lot of people working this event. And, you know, we talked about it. There's different people who have different situations. Like Daniel Bryan is working on SmackDown. He has a pregnant Brie Bella at home, which I'm not just biased because I'm the biggest Bella Twins fan, but like there's so many people who have different situations that could come into play and compromise, you know? So that's just my biggest thing is I hope they choose that. And they're already all compromised working together right now, but that just makes it 10 times worse. So we'll see, but.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say, like, there's so many questions. Are these people going to be tested before mm-hmm. they go in there? First off, why are we wasting tests on people going into an arena? Waste of tests right there. If that's what we're doing.
If they're even being tested.
Exactly. Yeah. Or are they just going to take their temperature and go, you don't have a fever. So cool. Go in, find a seat. But also, like, are they going to just take out a seat and go, okay, well, you can sit in the first row, first seat. Next person sits in the next seat, six seats away. And the next person sits in the next seat, six seats away. To me, it seems pointless because it's going to look so scattered. It's going to look like no one's really there.
Yeah.
And also, who's going to regulate these people and make sure they don't get within 6 feet of each other? Like, there's so many questions.
Yeah.
I have at least one solution, I think. Because if I was a wrestler there, I'd be worried. These people are going to be clapping. They're going to be cheering. They're going to be spraying spit all over the place when they're yelling. Okay, why? Which I think they should almost just do this permanently now, and this should just be the norm. Why not make it to where around the barrier is like a hockey glass? Mm-hmm. So like the ring area from like, so all outside the barrier, so the commentators and every other wrestlers are basically inside a glass plastic to where like the fans can watch, but if they're yelling or something, it's not going to get on them. And do it all the way around, all the way up the ramp, around to where like they're basically enclosed in something that helps them. That's the only way to me where if I worked there, I'd be like, hey, can we just do this? Because guess what? We know we got millions of dollars in the bank. How about we just make this? And we don't have to do this permanently. But for now, if we're going to have people come in here, let's do this. And I'll feel a lot safer working here. Because I know that at least the person I'm wrestling was tested or does not have this. But yeah. I can't be accountable for a 25% of that, even the Performance Center. has got to be what? A couple hundred people? 200 people?
Maybe. Some along that line.
3 weeks ago, they said you can't hang out with 10 people or more. And yeah. Here, we can't even do that yet. So it's like, you're, I don't know. It's just, it's, to me, it's a BS disaster.
It's not necessarily my argument, but here's the argument that would be made based on your suggestion with the, like the shield, per se, like they have at hockey. Because I like that idea. I like it a lot. Baseball, and I'm just using this as a comparison, baseball has had debates for the last couple of years as far as having the safety net go all down the sides of the right and left field, because on occasion there's a freak accident of a foul ball where it happens to hit someone. Like a year or two ago, someone unfortunately got hit a certain, like in the head a certain way, and actually died. Mm-hmm. It would, you know, and so then the talk is, let's get the nets up all around it to protect the fans. The argument for that was, if you do that, fans try to show up at warmups to try to get pictures with the baseball players while they're warming up, to get autographs, for them to play catch with them, because it's part of the art and the pastime on why people love baseball. In the case with wrestling, wanting to high five, try to touch their favorite wrestler. I'm not kidding. How many times has Cena thrown his hat to lucky fans, things like that? Like, well, all that, of all that, I'm not saying this is my opinion, but I'm saying all that would go away. So a lot of the purists of wrestling fans are going to hate it, because now you're taking that intimate interaction away. I get the reason why to do it, but I'm saying there's still going to be stubborn people and say, no, we can't do that, because now we can't high five. We can't fist bump Roman Reigns. Well, oh, I'm not allowed to say his name. I'm sorry.
You're fired, man. You guys got fired.
All right. It's been a good run.
Brian, I'm in here doing the show now. I don't know who this guy is. I'm not associated with him. But okay, I'm going to say this.
You get what I'm saying.
I 1,000% get what you're saying. And we know how wrestling fans are. They're going to be like, this is bull. First off, if you're Roman Reigns, do you want to fist bump someone? No, you don't. If I'm Daniel Bryan, do I want someone yelling yes in my face? No, I do not. Mm-hmm. And what's the guy on Raw? I can't think of his name now. With Zelina Vega. The guy that was kissing everybody. Okay.
Oh
my God. Oh, God. Angel Garza, no.
Yes, yeah. Do you think he's going to want to kiss someone in the audience? No. Oh, Josh, I can't hear you now.
Oh, I just said I'm a huge Angel Garza fan, and I love his character. I love that part with it. And you're right, yeah, that's going to stop.
I'm just saying, if John Cena wants to throw his hat, he can throw it over the glass. That's what happens in hockey, and the same thing as baseball. Hey, okay, during warm-ups, you keep the fences down. You keep the gates down. But when the game's happening, you just put them up. Like, I don't understand that whole, like, oh, it's going to ruin the experience of fans. Well, guess what? How about in hockey, they take the glass down, and then when someone gets beamed in the head with a puck, and the team gets sued, they're gonna be like, why weren't the glasses up? This is ridiculous. Like, it's a solution for what is happening.
Sure.
That's the only thing I'm saying. I mean, if I worked there and if I was an executive there, I'd say, okay, we need to find a way to do this. If anything, you could still put mics above the crowd so it's not drowning out their cheering. We could still hear them. And if it's plastic, you know, like a hard, not glass or whatever, like, I just think it could also be more fun, because you could throw the guy into the glass. Like, there's some, you know, there's things that they could do for it.
It's like they're throwing them into a pod of the chamber. It'd be made of that same material.
Yeah, but it won't break like the chamber
pod. Right, that would be a whole other issue.
I don't know. That was my solution, just watching and being like, how, if I was doing this, how would I at least try to think of something to make it safer for everyone? And you know what? Might as well, you know what? If the fans, put them in pods as well, because that's the only way we're going to have to, you know, deal with this. So
the bubbles, the rolling bubbles, like the hamsters. And
yes, exactly. Oh, that'd be so funny to see people rolling around in the back. Oh man, How much money are these people getting paid to be in the audience? Anything? Are they paying to be in the audience?
I feel like they're going to be paying. I feel like they will pay.
Really? Okay.
I really do.
How much?
I mean, I'm sure.
Can you imagine paying for that? Like, I would just be like,
You're gonna pay. You know, you're gonna pay $20 to be in there, $50 bucks to be ringside, or something.
Yeah, I mean, forgotten sons are gonna get a pop. We'll see.
Yeah, bless those people.
$75 bucks to be at ringside plus get an autographed photo of somebody.
I would not be the first person to volunteer to do that.
Nope. Mm-hmm. I would not.
it makes me scared watching just because you have no idea what's gonna happen. So
yeah. Couple other news items and then we'll wrap this up. First off, if you're wondering why when they announced the Fatal 4-Way tag match that the Usos were not mentioned, that's because we're not gonna see them in tag team action for most likely the rest of the year. Jimmy Uso, apparently at WrestleMania during the ladder match, had some type of knee injury that required surgery. We saw the Usos on TV a little bit, but they were just cutting promos, and the only one that had any type of physical action was Jay, and this shows why. Jimmy is going to be out, presumably, the rest of the year recovering from this knee injury. So then the question on this will be, will we see Jay Uso do any type of ring action while Jimmy's out?
I'm more concerned if we're going to see Naomi. that's just
that's true. Concern. That's true.
Yeah.
Really, think of that.
Yeah.
Well, she's not in Money in the Bank. She just had that one match where she lost to Dana a few weeks ago. We haven't seen her since. Maybe this is why.
Yeah, but that shouldn't be the reason why.
Yeah, I think they live in Pensacola, so they're pretty close. You can just be there recovering, and girl, come on back. We need you, girl.
I mean, obviously, we wish Jimmy a speedy recovery. But it'll be interesting because they just came back. They're being gone a few months. And then a few months later, boom, he gets this devastating injury, which
sucks.
Let's end on somewhat happier note. Apparently, Becky Lynch is making more and more money. Not quite billions yet. But she's gonna appear on the show Billions. Good night, everybody. So apparently Becky Lynch is gonna have a guest role on the hit show Billions, and it's been announced that she will have some type of role in an upcoming Marvel film. So is Becky turning into the female Rock?
No. Because I think that's Nikki Bella, but that's just me.
Nikki hasn't really done any films, though. She's done reality, obviously, but...
Yeah, I think maybe she could be that, you know, Becky could go in that direction of more film, because I feel like Nikki is just the most commercially successful outside of the WWE with her reality shows, her businesses, all that kind of stuff. You know, I'm just a Bella Twins fan, so I gotta, you know, stand up for her. But... but yeah, I think Becky can just be... This could actually be really good for Becky and bring in... Like kind of what The Rock did, a lot of more commercial fans, something that Ronda Rousey did as well, bring in people who are more that different kind of side of entertainment to WWE. It's obviously just more press, so that'll be a good thing.
Tom?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's awesome for her because I think when this all happened, you weren't thinking this was going to go this way for her. You just thought, oh, she's blowing up in wrestling and, you know, becoming bigger this way. Now, you know, she's going to Brock route of being in movies, especially a Marvel movie,
right?
Like, that's insane to just go, okay, hey, we're gonna be in a Marvel movie. It'd be awesome to see her and Batista act together. I think it, whatever, but I don't think she's gonna be in Guardians movie. We don't know what she's gonna be in yet. I think it'll be interesting to see if WWE, because they're trying to get all these different avenues of streams coming in. Does she become, which I think she will be, the first WWE women's superstar to headline their own WWE studio movie? I think she does.
I just thought about it, yeah.
The Marine starring Becky Lynch.
She was already she was in one of the Marines already.
I know, that's what I mean. So it's like you can just take that. I don't know. I never saw that one, so I don't know if she lives or dies in the movie, but you could take that character and You know, make it just transfer the Marine into like, now we did Cena, we did The Miz, now Becky is the Marine.
Oh, Ted DiBiase also.
Was he?
Yeah, Ted DiBiase, right?
Was it DiBiase or Ken Kennedy? One of them had a movie. Well, both had a movie.
I think it was
one
DiBiase.
Of them was a Marine. Okay, you might be right. I might be wrong. Chat roll, let us know.
Are they still out there?
Oh my god.
And along with that though, I can immediately see Becky being, for some reason I'm picturing Becky starring in a WWE type film. I can see her being like a boxer and wanting to fight the men. And like it's like the story of her finally getting the okay to fight in like the men's division and wins or whatever it might be. Because she's just a badass. I don't know why that idea came to me, but it will probably happen now. And I won't say anything.
Speak it into existence.
All right. So you guys, we want to know what you all think as far as this news that we talked about, as far as the attendance of the fans. Do you think it's a good idea? What type of role do you think Becky Lynch should be in? What did you think of SmackDown? What do you think about Mandy and Sonya? Because that's all we have. And do you want Bra and Panties matches coming back? No, don't answer that.
I do.
But you can chat with us on the YouTube page and, of course, on various forms of social media. Tom, how can people reach out to you?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, TomTheCom. Check out my Etsy store, Connolly Central. And then also I'm still printing shields, so 3dagentsofshield.com if you want to donate and help out there.
How many have you printed of those so far?
I think I'm up to like 200 or something. So, I mean, they've done, if you go to their website, like I can look at how many they've done. They've done like over like 15,000 or something. It's crazy.
Wow.
There's like 100 some people printing. So.
Awesome. Awesome. Bryant.
Yes, you can find me on all social media and let me know your favorite Bra and Panties match. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok at the Bryant Santos. And I literally want to hear that. Like, please tell me because I have a list.
You have a list?
We need to hear this list next week, I think.
YouTube.com/JoshTariff. Keep checking out my Josh Talk shows. This week will be part two of my two-part interview that I had with Al Snow. Al really breaks stuff down on what wrestlers should be asking for and what they are doing wrong. So you definitely want to check it out. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Tariff. And if you want to keep up with different, you know, after-show reality show recaps and conversations, follow AfterBuzz on Twitter at AfterBuzzTV. Thanks for tuning in. For Bryant Santos and Tom Connolly, I'm Josh Tariff, and we will see you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.